This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Got a tier one alert.
Welcome back. It's Ben and Paul Woodsy. Best wishes out with strep throat. Take those antibiotics. Hopefully we'll see you tomorrow, Woodsy.
Get well soon, buddy.
Andros in our YouTube chat just came in about 10 minutes ago saying, sorry to come in here and do this. I've got a Ram 5500 with a 16-foot flatbed that I need to get towed on the side of the freeway right now.
Oh, boy.
Anybody have any good tow companies they can recommend? He says, can't use AAA because it's commercial. That just sounds like a nightmare on a Monday morning. What a horrible way to start the week. Andros, I am so sorry for you. And I hope that, I don't know where you are exactly, but hopefully that you're not stranded forever. What a terrible way to start the week.
Somebody please go help him.
We'll put Vicky Pepper on the case, and she will devote at least 4 seconds to your plight in her next traffic report, like, possibly.
There is never a good time for car troubles, ever. Like, you're never like, I'm just going to drive around aimlessly for a few hours right now. Oh, darn, my car isn't starting. It's always on your way to work.
Oh, of course.
On your way to meeting somebody. Like, it's never on the way home, right? I mean, maybe he's on his way home.
I mean, on the way home ain't great either.
It's not great, but it's
better
than on the way to work.
A ton of pressure. It always feels like it's the worst time. Last time I got a flat was on the way to work, of course, and you're like stuck. You got to call your boss and go, I don't know. I mean, I'll probably be there. I'm going to be a little bit late, just so you know, contingency plans just in case I don't make it. And just wrecks your whole day. So I feel for you, Andros. And I see some tier ones offering some suggestions in the chat. Hopefully,
that sucks.
Hopefully that he finds someone that's able to tow. It's like obviously it's bigger than a normal. You can't just have a regular tow truck. It's like a heavy duty sort of vehicle. So anyway, not a great way to start your Monday. I'm sure Woods is feeling the same way. Now he had the kids just by himself all weekend as well, with Hannah out of town, and obviously he was already getting sick on
Friday. I was
going to
say, this
Friday.
Didn't just pop up last night or anything like that. He sounded pretty bad. I think he was feeling it a little bit on Thursday. He did not sound good
Friday. I know he got out of his plan to go to Belmont Park on Friday afternoon.
That's right.
Thanks to iPads and Crunch Berries. That was the exchange. We'll do Belmont Park at a later date in exchange for iPads and Crunch Berries now. Sounds very much like an AJ Preller trade. Like, I will give you iPad and Crunch Berries now for a later trip to Belmont Park.
And
player to be named later.
We will defer Belmont Park.
But well, so that's a Dodger move, actually.
Yeah,
we're deferring Belmont Park for the Crunch Berries and the iPad now for the kids. But now that, we knew he was getting
stripped. He sent that over to us. I go, man, Crunch Berries and the iPad. That doesn't sound like the worst
Friday night
I've ever heard.
Yeah, and I think he did watch the fight and just kind of slowly continued to deteriorate over to the weekend until he made it to urgent care yesterday and had to get his antibiotics, and we got that text. It's always it's not a great text to get, obviously, Paulie, but either one of us is not going to be there, especially, you know, within 12 hours, 13 hours of the show, whenever it was yesterday afternoon when he said, I don't don't think I'm going to be able to make it. He actually was pretty good. He told us kind of late in the morning, I think. Yeah. So we had as much time to plan as
possible. As soon as he texted us, I was like, I'm planning on him not being there, and that's fine. Like, neither of us want to get sick either. Annie and Craig, they don't want to get sick. Elise's parenting while sick is the worst. I can't even imagine. That sounds awful. Solo parenting just makes it twice as mad, as bad.
Of course. Like, you can't even go, I'm sorry, you're just going to have to take the kids. Nope, you got to suck
Hannah
it
being
up.
Out of town this weekend. Oh, man. Just a
I mean, they're probably up because the kids are... I mean, they're they had to go to school this morning, so hopefully they're getting off to school and he can just rest the rest of today with the antibiotics. But Woodsy, if you're up and you're listening, we feel for you today. Tonight is San Diego State Gonzaga at Viejas Arena. I'm planning to go cover it for Channel 10. So we've got Monday Night Football, so I'm not on until
that works out well
after the game, which is it's kind of weird because it's usually the newscast starts around 8:30 after Monday Night Football, and then we're on for like 45 minutes. So, and I'm on kind of near the end, so I'm hoping the game ends, and then they've told me if the game is over, I can go down to the court and go live right after the game. But if the game is still on, I have to be all the way out in front of the Viejas Arena because you're not allowed to go live inside the arena while the game is still on because CBS Sportsnet has the television rights until the game is over. So it's kind of a weird situation. I'll either be standing outside talking about a game that's not quite over or I'll be down on the court. Who knows? Maybe even they'll, you know, throw Dutch my way during the post game. So you can tune in after Monday Night Football tonight to ABC 10 News and I'll have coverage, but I should be able to watch some of the game. Looking forward to this one. I heard Mark Few, the Gonzaga coach, talking a little bit about San Diego State. There's a lot of respect there. Obviously, Gonzaga is, they're still, you know, kind of mad about last year. San Diego State went to the kennel, the McCarthy Athletic Center, and punched the Zags in the mouth last year. They beat them by 11.
Yeah.
It ended like a ridiculous winning streak at home and something even like over 100 in a row that they had not been beaten by double digits at home. They very rarely lose home games, non-conference home games, even conference home games. It's extremely rare for them to lose at their home arena, and the Aztecs did it last year, so they would love, obviously, to return the favor and go into a really hostile Viejas Arena tonight and come out with a big win. Now, last year, San Diego State was coming off a national championship appearance, had another good team that would eventually make it to the Sweet 16. This year, it's a whole new cast of young characters who have only played two real games, and they're taking on a Gonzaga team that has four returning starters and a couple of really good transfers, and they're all motivated to win this game. There's a reason why Gonzaga is 11.5-point favorites, even going into Viejas Arena tonight. You may never see that again in your life.
I was just
going
to say, when do you think the last time San Diego State was an 11 or more point dog at home?
I mean, maybe like when Arizona came in many years ago before San Diego State had even like totally built up the program. I mean, it's been a long time since San Diego State.
More than 10 years, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
Double-digit underdogs at home, it's been definitely more than 10 years.
Which speaks to how good of an opponent you have coming in, a top-five team. You don't see that too often. I can't... It would probably have been BYU in 2011 when you got a top-five team regular season match here in San Diego.
Got some more thoughts on it. I want to throw out the numbers. We're going to try to play Take on John if he comes over, but if he comes over, we're going to have to play quickly because we got to get him back to his own studio. So if you want to call in and play right away and have a chance to qualify for Las Vegas, dial up now, 833-288-0973. First caller that gets in, probably just going to get going. 833-288-0973. Call in, chance to play Take on John for an opportunity to win a trip to Las Vegas. So, yeah, I don't know. My expectations, I could see this going a couple of ways. I can see San Diego State just being overmatched a little bit with their new players and it being a blowout. I can also see the crowd at Viejas Arena, like, carrying them. They hit some shots, and it could be a really good game that goes down to the wire and one of the better college basketball games of the year. I just don't know how it's gonna play out tonight. I do know that however it plays out, will be very important. If San Diego State has a good showing, that'll help them in the metrics. It'll help them in the committee at the end of the year if they need an at-large berth in the NCAA tournament. Hopefully, that'll work. So we'll see how that goes.
Looks like we do have John.
All right, we got John, and we actually have John who just called in, so let's get to it. Let's take on John.
It's time for Take on Woods. Woods. Woods.
Take on John today, brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. And is this John on the line?
It is.
John, it's John v. John today. All right, you get to go first. And with John Flint coming in, I got a classic category for you. So Woodsy's already played this one, but I'm guessing you haven't, and John has it. It's called Feeling Blue. So we've got five song titles that all begin with the word blue. If you can beat or tie John, you will qualify for the trip to Las Vegas, two nights at the Westgate, two tickets to Soul of Motown, and a $150 food and beverage credit. You can get your own tickets at WestgateResorts.com. So you know the rules, John. You got 60 seconds, five questions. If you don't know one, say pass. We'll come back to it. First question's the two-second song. Polly's queuing it up now. You need to give me that song title that starts with blue and the band to score that point. You ready?
Ready.
All right, get right to it. Polly, you're good to go?
I'm ready.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. John, the category is Feeling Blue. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on John.
Blue Monday.
Correct. By?
Yeah.
We'll come back to it. Originally written by Roy Orbison, Linda Ronstadt made which song in the 1970s?
Blue Bayou.
Correct. Which signature song was the opening track on Elvis Presley's groundbreaking debut album?
Blue Suede Shoes.
Correct. Bass singer Fred Johnson of the Marcells made which 1964 debut single a memorable one for the doo-wop group? Lana Del Rey covered which Bobby Vinton hit that also shares a name with a racy 1986 David Lynch movie?
Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain.
Incorrect. Go back to the two-second song. See if you can give me the band for Blue Monday.
The New Order?
It is. Correct. Bass singer Fred Johnson of the Marcells made which 1964 debut single a memorable one for the doo-wop group? That is Blue Moon. All right, let's bring Johnny in. You got three correct there. All right, appreciate you coming in. John Flint from KSON is here. You are actually taking on another John today.
Oh, okay.
His score is in. The category is called Feeling Blue. I'll just leave it at that for you because you're pretty good at this game, too.
Feeling Blue.
Feeling Blue.
All right, songs with blue in the title, I'm imagining.
60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, John. Let's take on John.
Blue Monday
by
New Order.
Correct. Originally written by Roy Orbison, Linda Ronstadt.
Blue Bayou.
Correct. Which signature song is the opening track on Elvis Presley's
Blue Suede Shoes.
Correct. Bass singer Fred Johnson of the Marcells made which 1964 debut single a memorable one for the doo-wop group?
Pass.
Lana Del Rey covered which Bobby Vinton hit that also shares a name with a racy 1986 David Lynch movie?
Blue Velvet.
Of course you've seen it. Bass singer Fred Johnson of the Marcells made which 1964 debut single a memorable one for the doo-wop group?
How much time do I got?
You got about 25
seconds. Okay,
20 seconds.
Blue. Can I just rattle off thoughts in my head and then say, final
answer? This is just stream of consciousness.
I don't know,
running
man.
Out of time. 10 seconds.
I'm feeling blue. I don't know.
Blue moon, blue moon, blue moon.
Is that you singing?
That is me.
That was awesome.
That is me. Thank you.
Dip, 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 bomb,
you bomb, did bomb, win, bomb, though, 4-3. Oh. John, another victory for our guest. I will let you go back. I know you had a busy morning. Thank you for coming in.
It's nice and toasty in this studio. It's so freezing in ours.
We're planning on a giant showdown between you and Woods in our Christmas extravaganza.
All right, man. Woods is pretty good.
That's at least the plan.
You're pretty good, too, though.
The ultimate championship.
I mean,
we're going to stream it on Netflix.
Oh, really?
It's going to stop and start every 7 seconds.
It's going to be amazing. You guys can see my ass.
Hang on. Let me walk.
There you
go.
Exactly. That's a big interview.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Johnny. John Flint coming in. John, thank you for playing. Wasn't to be. John is very good at this game. It's going to be an epic showdown when he and Woods square off. Hopefully.
We have to make that happen, man.
Hopefully we can make that happen in our Christmas and holiday extravaganza. Yeah, we did pretty efficiently there. That was nicely done. All right. Any other thoughts on the Aztecs? The over-under, you were telling me,
That's intriguing to me.
Aztecs are 11.5-point underdogs, but the over-under is only like 150.5, you
said?
That's
what I saw on ESPN this morning. It's probably going to change.
Well, keep in mind.
150.5.
Keep in mind, Gonzaga is averaging in their first three games 100.7 points per game.
God.
And it's not like they've played the Sisters of the Poor. They played Baylor, a top 10 team. They played Arizona State, a good Big 12 team. And then I think they literally played the Sisters of the Poor in their third.
UMass Lowell.
In their third game. But but they score a ton of points. Their offense is the most efficient so far in the college basketball season. Yes, it's early. They've got scores all over the place. They can put up points. Now, the Aztecs, known for their defense, they will make it tougher on Gonzaga scoring. But San Diego State's offense, again, they were just taking on a D3 school, but they've got multiple shooters, a chance to score maybe more than they have in past years. That felt a little low to me. We both kind of agreed that I think it could be, you know, like an 85, 80, 75 type game. Whatever that is, that would be enough for the cover.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we are so used to San Diego State games being 64-54. Not going to be that tonight. If San Diego State has a chance, they've got to get at least into the 70s, if not into the 80s. I just don't see beating Gonzaga and scoring less than 70 points.
No, I'm excited for the game tonight. Good to have something else other than Monday Night Football on tonight. And like you mentioned earlier, I don't know how good the Mountain West Conference is going to be. I don't know how many tough resume games are going to be.
It's a good basketball conference. It really is. Yeah. But it doesn't get the credit for being good. And you really need the credit if you're going to get an at-large
berth. You've got back-to-back ranked opponents now tonight, starting tonight at Viejas Arena. And then you got, I don't know what they'll be ranked after tomorrow's rankings come out, but right now, number 11, Creighton, in Vegas in the tournament. So you got a chance to really put a stamp on the season early.
Actually, I think they come out today, Mondays, 9 o'clock. Yeah, they should come out the new rankings. Gonzaga should be either 4 or 3, and Creighton should be somewhere up there as well. We will see what happens for tonight. Little blue suede shoes to take us to Vicky Pepper's traffic, and then we'll come back with a don't and do this for a Monday morning.
Bill's Mafia. Got to be a little bit better than that.
Sounds good. We'll get to that next here on 97.3 The Fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Quick don't do this to a strep throat. I see in the chat people who are joining us late. Where's Woods? Woods is down. The bacteria in his throat got him again. He's on antibiotics. Hopefully he will be feeling better and rejoining us as soon as tomorrow. But no Woodsy today. You got me and you got Paul. And you got a couple of stories from the world of sports that make you shake your head. And I will start today, Paulie, in the NBA. We'll start with the Charlotte Hornets, actually. We don't talk a lot of Charlotte Hornets around here.
What do you mean?
Well, yesterday they actually lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers 128-114. That was more notable for the Cavs winning. They are the fourth team in NBA history to start 15-0 or better. Even though Donovan Mitchell, they rested him because they just wanted to avoid putting too much mileage on his legs early in the season. They will play the Boston Celtics on the road tomorrow. Toughest test of the year. 15-0, that's going to be put to the test. You know that Boston would love to take them down. But the don't do this story actually goes to the Hornets and LaMelo Ball, who learned a very expensive lesson, or at least got a very expensive lesson over the weekend when he was fined $100,000 for what was basically an offhand, under kind of almost under his breath comment during a post-game interview, but it was a homophobic comment that he just threw in. I kind of had to search it out, like, because the NBA doesn't announce exactly what he said when they announced the fine. They just said a homophobic comment during a post-game interview after the team's game on Saturday night. And so I kind of searched it out, and I was struck by how it's kind of natural. It just kind of flowed off of his tongue. I don't think he was even being necessarily, like, you know, he didn't think he was being derogatory when he said it. He just said it because
he didn't think he was saying it with hate.
Exactly. Voice. It was just part of his lexicon, which is unfortunate. So hopefully he can exercise that from his vocabulary. And the $100,000 fine by the NBA should reinforce that message that needs to be a little more careful about choosing his words.
$100,000, I think, will go a long way.
Probably going to remember that. Yeah, probably not going to say that again.
Yeah. I'm going to put Bills Mafia on blast. We've given them their kudos over the years for some of the cool things that they've done. But yesterday, I think they crossed the line that you don't need to cross. Of course, the Bills getting ready to host the Kansas City Chiefs. And look, I'd be the first one to say I've made fun of Patrick Mahomes' voice. He's kind of a Kermit-y, right? We've all made the jokes. But what you don't need to do is, there was a photograph going around somewhere in Buffalo or near the stadium. Yeah, it was right outside of the stadium. So when everyone's tailgating and jumping off of trailers through tables and all of that, there was a Kermit the Frog doll in a red number 15 football jersey hanging from a lamppost, street pole. And
all right, go ahead. Think about why this is inappropriate, Bills fans. Just like
spend
60 seconds before you string up Kermit the Frog and put him in a Patrick Mahomes jersey. Why that could have connotations that aren't exactly what you're probably going for in your pregame, tailgating festivities.
They put a wig on the Kermit. It was very clearly supposed to be
Patrick Mahomes, a black man.
Yeah.
You know, not a green frog, but you put him in a Patrick Mahomes jersey. Get it? Understand why that was a don't do this moment, Bills fans? Now, I know sports. See, they're testing. It's like that karma thing. It's bad karma. Yeah, and then, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs went out and, plastered the field with the Buffalo Bills. But they didn't, because it doesn't really work that way. You can't jinx your team. You can't really give your team bad karma. It's going to be decided on the field.
This, in the parking lot, had nothing to do with how
not.
The game played out.
And I try to make this point. So I was having a breakfast yesterday with Shelly. We were at Le Papagayo in Leucadia, which is right next to the Regal Seagull. So we popped over there, shared some breakfast, and Joey, who's one of the bartenders, good friend, tier one, listener to the show, wants to call in. And I say, Joey, we don't take calls. We almost never take calls. But he goes, I want to call in. I want to complain about fans who keep jinxing the Padres, whatever they do. And I go, Joey, they're not jinxing the team. I mean, maybe you disapprove of their behavior.
It's only happened one time in history.
That's what's in.
We were doomed after that.
But don't you realize that, you know, he's militant about it. Like, if you're watching the game and you moved, like they were doing well and then you switched couches or something, it's your fault that the team is now starting to lose. And I tried to point out to him, don't you think there are fans from the other team, you know, tens of thousands of them who are doing something that you would consider a violation of the karma, a bad jinx? Everybody's doing it all the time. It's impossible to track exactly who is responsible when something goes wrong at a sporting event, other than perhaps, you know, the athletes who are actually on the field participating in the sporting event. And I know I take some of the fun out of it, that people actually enjoy the jinxing thing, but when it affects your life, you know, like you and Megan sitting in the car when Joe Musgrove was throwing his no-hitter and you couldn't leave the car.
Probably had tickets.
Now, you didn't...
We missed the show that night.
Now, you wanted to hear how it happened. That was
yeah.
That was not necessarily because you thought it was bad luck if you got out of the car. You just didn't want to miss it. But there was a little element of there's no-hitter superstitions involved for every fan.
It was the first one. I was like, I'm not missing this. We're not moving.
You have no impact on the game. Especially
of
if
course.
You're not at the stadium.
Joe would have thrown it either way.
He doesn't know what you're doing on your couch. In your car, whether you're switching from television to radio, they don't know. They're at the game. They're not thinking about you. They've got no idea what's going on. Try not to obsess about it. The universe knows, Ben, says the Gizinator. Moderator in the chat. All right, finally, I like this. Adam actually sent a doo-doo this story over the weekend.
D.D. Mega Doo-Doo.
Kennesaw State football school in Kennesaw, Georgia, fired their coach last week. His team was struggling. I've talked to Steve Fisher, is a big opponent of firing college coaches during a season. It's like, what are you going to do? I mean, you can't turn it around. Once the season's gone, it's gone. Just let these guys finish it out. Now with the transfer portal and everything, that may be changing where you kind of need to get a jump on everything for the next season. So
I can at least say, look what the new coach did. We turned things around. We won three of our last four.
Yeah, you can debate it or not. But so they fired their coach, Brian Bohannon. But that's the do this part of it is that you would totally understand if you just got fired as a head coach, the last thing you'd want to do, you just, all right, go on vacation, get away from it. Like, they don't want me. I don't want you. But Brian Bohannon felt like he owed it to his Owls players. I recruited them. I have been with them every step of the way. So on his own, he went to the game and like outside the game and greeted all of his players as they arrived just to offer his support, some hugs. And
when was
say,
he
hey.
Fired?
He was fired last week.
Like when in the week? Didn't get a chance to see the players?
I would imagine he didn't get a chance to see all of them or address all of them. So this is just like days,
I was wondering if
days
it was like
later.
Thursday or Friday, and he's like,
I would imagine it would be early in the week. You usually fire a coach probably
Monday.
Sunday or Monday after a loss. But he wanted to make sure he knew that, I may not be the coach anymore, but I still got your back. And there was a cool video of him just, you know, pumping up all of his players as they walk into the stadium and being there and handshakes and bro hugs. And I thought that was pretty classy for a guy who just got fired by his university but wanted to still be there and support his team.
Yeah, it's a good move. I like that.
And that is a don't and do this for a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Also have a fun story that Paulie's got in his Rindle Report. Good news if you are a fan of Inside the NBA and some news that came out this weekend about Ernie and Chuck and Shaq and Kenny and what their future is going to be. We'll get to that in our Rindle Report coming up in the second half of the show. When we come back, though, kind of a few new baseball news and notes this morning. It is also big night for Jackson Merrill as the awards week in Major League Baseball.
Hi, this is Jackson Merrill.
Gets underway. We will talk some Padres and more when we come back with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, today's a big day, not just for Jackson Merrill, but for the San Diego Padres as well. Remember, there's another element to tonight's Baseball Writers Association of America Awards announcement, the first of four that will impact the Padres this coming offseason. If you don't remember, we will explain that coming up here after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. All right, so how this has worked in the past, today is the Rookie of the Year award announcements, tomorrow Manager of the Year, Cy Young on Wednesday, and MVP awards on Thursday. And each award gets its own one-hour program devoted to it on MLB Network at 3 o'clock Pacific. So sometime between 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock today, we will learn who the American and National League Rookies of the Year are. And, of course, we're focused in on the National League Rookie of the Year Award, where Jackson Merrill, Paul Skeens, and Jackson Churio are the three finalists. One of those three guys is your winner. It's already been determined. They just haven't announced it yet. Now, usually, if I remember correctly, like the first half is devoted to either the American or the National League. Second half is devoted to the other. They'll announce it, the first one, probably around 15 minutes in. Then they usually have some interviews and reaction. Then they'll switch to the other league, build it up for a few minutes, and then like 3:40, they'll have another announcement, break it down for another 15, 20 minutes at the
end. Usually get the player on Zoom.
Yeah. So imagine either on 3:10, 3:15, or 3:40, 3:45. You'll get, I don't know which one's going first, if they how they schedule that, how they plan it, but sometime between 3 and 4 o'clock, they will make that announcement. As soon as it is made, we will have it for you. Anything around it here on 97.3 The Fan should be on while Gwynn and Chris are still on before our Monday Night Football.
Yeah, they go until 4:30.
Coverage tonight, they go until 4:30. So we will definitely have that before the end of their program. And we'll have some early reaction. Crossing our fingers that we may have an opportunity to talk to Jackson at some point this week. Win or lose, but...
Hi, this is Jackson Merrill.
Just talking right there.
The hope is, of course, win. And there are certainly a lot of arguments in favor of Jackson Merrill. You know, play the entire season, everyday player, the clutch factor you just cannot ignore. You know, talked about it a ton, but not just the numbers that he put up, but the big hits, the times that he came through, the energy that he provided for a team that, you know, made the playoffs and made a good playoff run. I know the playoff run isn't part of it because the voting was done at the end of the regular season, but for the most part, the things that are generally valued in baseball, Jackson Merrill has the edge in what should be a vote that tilts his way. Paul Skeens, of course, has the domination edge. When he was out there, which wasn't that often because they didn't call him up, the Pirates didn't call him up until May, and he made, what, 22 starts? So maybe two-thirds of a rookie season, not even a full rookie season. He was dominant. An ERA below two. If he had qualified, would have won the ERA title. He is a finalist for the Cy Young Award. So he will clearly have some support. No one really knows what even the odds makers are pretty split here on which way it can go tonight between the two. The only difference is if the Padres, Jackson Merrill wins, the Padres will get a bonus first round draft pick because of the incentive program that Major League Baseball instituted in their last collective bargaining agreement to try to encourage teams to promote their rising stars at the start of a season as opposed to manipulating their service time. If you do that, if they start the year with your team and win a Rookie of the Year award, you get a draft pick compensation for that. The Pirates would not get that. So advantage Padres, and I'm sure, you know, other than just wanting good things for Jackson, the front office, A.J. Preller and his staff, would love to have a free extra pick at the end of the first round. Those are gold. I mean, whether it's a player that ever sees the light of the day with the San Diego Padres, it's likely someone that can, you know, go into trade talks, you know, a year from now when A.J. is looking to acquire the next piece to the puzzle as he tries to put together a World Series contender. That's a big thing. Don't discount how important that is to the San Diego Padres. So that's one reason to really have your fingers crossed today for Jackson Merrill winning the National League Rookie of the Year award.
Yeah, it adds a little bit of spice to it for sure. You know, we don't get a ton of Rookie of the Year nominations here in San Diego, so of course you naturally want it. It looks good for the team, for the fan base, something to celebrate for sure. And then you add the draft pick in. How do you think it goes tonight?
I think I'm
a little nervous.
Of course. I just generally think, you know, the people who are deciding this are the Baseball Writers Association of America, which has some younger guys, you know, people like A.J. Cassavell, and, you know, it's one from each city. I don't know the specific makeup, but
there's a lot of hype for Paul Skeens, man.
Feel fairly confident that at least half to two-thirds of those voters are probably old-school baseball writer types. And those types, I don't think, are going to be skewed so much by the social media, Livy Dunn hype aspect of Paul Skeens. They have spent enough time around big leaguers and know how important it is being there every day and being a position player that I think ultimately this tips toward Jackson Merrill. I could be wrong. Could have egg on my face tomorrow. I know, I saw, I think Bob Nightingale, who's one of those old school writers that sometimes has a vote in these things, said Merrill's considered a slight favorite here for the award. I disagree. I mean, he said Skeen's a slight favorite. I would put Jackson Merrill as more of a 65% favorite in my personal estimation. In my opinion, I'm 100% Jackson Merrill.
Yeah.
In what I think is going to happen, I'm like 65% Jackson Merrill.
See, I think Paul Skeens would be the betting favorite tonight.
The betting favorite, though, is kind of what the public thinks. And I'm going a little deeper on kind of how I think baseball writers think when they're putting their votes in.
I guess I'm just setting myself up to not be
disappointed.
Super upset and disappointed. That's fine. But I think Jackson Merrill is the most deserving. I just don't know that the voters are going to necessarily feel the same way.
It's I think it's the wrong call if they give it to Paul Skeens. I don't think it's an outrage if they give it to Paul Skeens. He was really fantastic when he was out there. And it wasn't his fault.
Every 5 days, he was great.
It wasn't his fault the Pirates didn't call him up at the beginning of the year. He is a pitcher, so you only get the opportunity to go out there every 5 or 6 days. But to me, what Jackson Merrill did was more valuable to the Padres. You know, the WAR numbers, I think B-WAR favors Jackson, F-WAR favors Skeens. I mean, you can parse the metrics in a million different ways, and you're still not going to come out with a definitive answer.
I do wonder if they'll ever just fully split up the pitchers and the position players, even at the Rookie of the Year award level. Like, you have the Cy Young, you have the MVP. It's rare. I don't know that you'll ever see a purely only starting pitcher ever win an MVP award anymore. Now, Ohtani, of course, can pitch and play in the field and hit. To him, I'm talking just a regular pitcher. I don't know that you'll ever see them get a rookie.
I know MVP what you're award. Saying, and I wouldn't be opposed to it. It's sometimes it's hard to find even like three finalists, like decent ones. I mean, we've had some pretty blah Rookie of the Year winners that didn't go on to do anything and didn't even have that
pitchers and three rookie.
Yeah, now
players.
You're doubling the field of kind of maybe some mediocre talent that you're throwing in there and adding awards that don't really deserve to have awards.
At its face, though, it seems night and day to compare somebody that even at that high level that Paul Skeens pitched at, somebody that played once a week. Versus somebody that was out there over 150 games playing every day, who was arguably the team's MVP during the season. He was so impressive. First time ever playing center field. You know, Paul Skeens wasn't a second baseman that they converted into a pitcher or anything like that. I wonder if we will ever get to that point where they just say, look, it's not, you just can't compare pitchers and everyday players.
SoCal Yeti says, still kind of wild to think Ethan Salas had better Rookie of the Year odds at the start of spring training than Jackson Merrill. I remember that going through. I think we were sitting at spring training. Oh, here are the odds for Rookie of the Year. Well, there's Ethan Salas like 20-1, and there's Jackson Merrill 50 or 60-1, not even knowing if he was going to make the team, much less be the starting everyday center fielder for the San Diego Padres.
Trying to catch him on the chat. Mel says he needs Jackson to win it. He put $200 on him to win it when he was plus 900.
So that's an $1,800 win. Man.
Yeah.
Very nice.
That would be...
I'm cheering for you.
That'll make for a nice Monday night,
Mel,
for sure.
Absolutely cheering for you tonight. Now, I think I could make the argument that all three National League finalists would win the award if they were in the American League. Not that any of the players are bad. It's Colton Cowser of the Orioles, Luis Gil of the Yankees, and Austin Wells of the Yankees, who all had fine seasons. Not a single one of them would have beaten Jackson Churio, who's like the third choice in the National League pretty clearly. Jackson Churio had a better season than all three of those guys.
He's the forgotten guy in this National League race. He had a very, really very good season.
I mean, in many years, he would have been a runaway winner of a Rookie of the Year award. Had the misfortune of having his rookie season at the same time Jackson Merrill and Paul Skeens had their Rookies of the Year. Now, remember, it was Jackson Holliday was like, oh, yeah, he's clearly going to win it in the American League at the start of the year. No doubt about it. Jackson Holliday, the huge favorite.
And then he got sent down like a month later.
He got sent down, not even, I mean, came back and did some things, but nowhere near, you know, even a finalist for the American League Rookie of the Year. It's definitely one of the hardest awards to predict. In the National League, it was Yamamoto was like by far the favorite at the beginning of the year coming over from Japan. He was going to be the guy. And then early in the year, Shota Imanaga was going to be the favorite. Now, he's a Cy Young finalist. He didn't even make Rookie of the Year finalist. Paul Skeens is also a Cy Young finalist, did make Rookie of the Year finalists. I don't know. It's fascinating. We'll find out this afternoon sometime between 3 and 4 p.m., and we'll have the announcement for you here on 97.3 The Fan.
So we got Rookie of the Year tonight, Manager of the
Schilt
Year.
Tomorrow for Manager of the Year.
All right. So we got some Padres things to watch for over the next couple of days.
I'd be more surprised if Mike Schilt wins than if Jackson Merrill loses, I guess. I think there's a better chance the Padres go 0-2 than 2-2. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. I'm hoping for at least a split.
I would love a split. I'll take a split. And then, Cy Young Wednesday and MVP on Thursday.
Hello, my dudes. How you doing?
Good, pretty good, Mike. I hope you're doing well. I wonder if he's nervous. Do you think he's nervous?
Do you think he ever gets nervous?
He doesn't seem like a nervous guy.
I think he either gets nervous before every single game, and it doesn't matter if it's spring training or if it's October, or he doesn't get nervous at all.
I promise you Jackson Merrill's not nervous about today, and he won't care if he loses. You will care much more than Jackson Merrill does, I think, whatever the outcome of the award is. Somehow, I don't know how that's even possible, but I do believe that fans like care more about this award than Jackson.
I don't think he cares very much.
Yeah,
he was asked almost every day at one point during the season, hey, you know, you're really climbing the charts on the rookie theories. I don't care. I'm just glad we won tonight, or I just hope we get a win. And he was, you know, those are the right answers. Now that the season's over, I bet if you asked him, he'd be like, yeah, I want to win that. You don't want to be nominated and lose.
That's true. He doesn't like to lose.
Of course.
So, you know, just because he doesn't like to lose, maybe he does care. Well, we'll ask him. Hopefully we'll get a chance to do that at some point later this week. Not a ton of, like, action in the offseason. The Juan Soto derby continues. He has now met with, reportedly, the Red Sox, Mets, and Blue Jays over the weekend. Blue Jays and Mets getting their shot to make a pitch to Juan Soto. Yankees are expected to be next. They don't know exactly the timetable. Can't really do much else until Juan Soto decides, which is why I'm really hoping he doesn't drag this out too long, because all those teams are going to wait on Juan Soto's decision before they start throwing money at other players for the most part. Which means the other players are going to wait, because who wouldn't want money thrown at them by the Mets and the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Blue Jays? So why would you start negotiating until those teams are ready to start talking to you? Which means the offseason is pretty much at a standstill, other than, you know, low-level Angels and White Sox signings.
3 weeks from the winter meetings?
Yeah, three weeks from the winter meetings.
All of next
they're
week.
They're off next week for Thanksgiving.
Then
they come back, and I think it's the second week of December.
The 9th. Yeah. So, yeah, about 3 weeks. Do you think a deal gets done before the winter meetings?
I think it's possible with Juan Soto. He's going to get the offers. I'm sure Scott Boras will try to play some games against, you know, pit the teams against each other to see if then they can up the offer a little bit to whatever the final deal is. But
it does seem like it's moving at a pace where it'll get done relatively quickly. Quicker than anything that happened last year.
Boras and his love of theater probably would love to announce it at the winter meeting so he can be the star of that show as well. So that's my prediction. That's the big winter meetings announcement, which will then actually touch off the rest of the offseason. So you won't probably have a ton of other announcements at the winter meetings, because then you'll just be starting with everyone else making those decisions.
Right.
So that's what they did over the weekend. They'll continue to talk. I did see some notes from Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic this morning, not specifically related to the Padres. I actually wrote about Alex Bregman and his desire to get a big-time contract this offseason. Guess who his agent is? Scott Boras. And while the projections are around 7 years and $189 million, you know, kind of more like maybe Matt Chapman money. He had a 6-year, $151 million deal. Boras wants a Manny deal, 11 years, $350 million for Alex Bregman, whose numbers are actually pretty similar to Manny Machado's. And he's 31 years old, so
30.
You know, 30 years old. So there you go. He's a younger, or the same age Manny was last year when he signed his extension.
Entering his age 31. He'll be turning 31 on
March
30. Yeah,
essentially the same age Manny was when he signed his last contract. And The thought is, and it's even written about here by Ken Rosenthal, that the Machado extension, which prevented him from opting out at the end of 2023, resulted in part from the passion and generosity of the late Padres owner Peter Seidler. Other teams, including Bregman's previous club, the Houston Astros, likely view it as an outlier. But the statistical comparison between Machado and Bregman is closer than one might think. That's, you know, that's writer speak, that the Padres probably overpaid for Manny and that no one else is getting a deal like that. That they set the top of the market for 30-year-old third baseman when Manny signed his 11-year deal.
Bregman, now, 260, 26 home runs, 75 RBIs last year. Yeah, entering age 31, I don't know that he gets 11 years.
Yeah, and
I believe that Scott Boris is asking for
even it, if though. It is an overpay for Manny, which it probably is, don't be mad at Manny. And don't be mad at Peter Seidler. You know what? He wanted... It was his team. He wanted Manny with the Padres for the next 11 years. That's the right you get when you own a baseball team. You get to make that decision. Even if your baseball people are not necessarily, I wouldn't go that high, but hey, it's your team. If you want to go that high, you want Manny to be a part of the team, then you do it. And then it's up to A.J. Preller to, you know, work around that contract. So that was an interesting note from Ken Rosenthal this morning. All right, we're already halfway home. We'll come back. More Ben and Woods next year on 97.3 The Fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.